Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio, the number one anarcho comedy radio show on any station across the nation. We've been doing it for over 5 years now. If you want to check that out, it's on WCRSFM.org. Full archive of everything we've done. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby. And we are fighting for a world that exists outside of Republican and Democrat control. We want people to have a control over their lives and what happens in their own communities without these people managing what's going on. These neoliberal policies, these fundamentalist Christians, all of that hogwash. We want a way out of it, and we're looking to set something else up. This is the place to get started. It's happening in the heartland, Ohio, Columbus. Arawak City is what it'll be renamed after we get rid of the imperialist mindset that named it before. But it's really a place to start the revolution, the new shit. What are we going to do after we get rid of this Donald Trump shit? We can't have any more reality TV stars running shit for us. So that's why Brian and I are heading to the inauguration on January 20th to check things out for ourselves. You can expect us to be there, of course. We'll be doing a live show on January 22nd with the guys from District Sentinel Radio, the Sams, Sam Sachs and Sam Knight will be joining us on stage, along with Felix Biederman from the Chapo Trap House podcast. Getting ahead of myself. I'm getting too excited, I think.
Friend, actually, Felix is the artist formerly known as Swarthy Villain.
Exactly. He'll always be Swarthy Villain to me. He
so
still is.
Sad that
he's
they
Swarthy.
It's so sad that they took that name away from him. Like, they should give it back now. He's,
I think,
successful.
So. Is
okay?
There like a reconciliation process we can do with the Twitter mods?
No, I think he can't, it's like, really
forever.
Let them know that he's even on there, really.
Oh, it's like a retired jersey or something.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, we're going to get a shirt in the basement here that says, Swarthy Villain on the back. And that'll be one of the first, you know, we'll have a roasty dog. There's a bunch of people from back
sure.
in the day that just
landfill
disappeared.
Poet.
Yeah, landfill poet. All the people that went away, we're going to retire your jerseys.
And we're happy that you've joined us. We've been building momentum more and more as things go along. What we're looking for is some sovereignty. I'm trying not to be claimed by this USA that I don't fucking jive with at all. It ain't nothing about me or my life is based in the type of shit that the USA gets done, you know?
No. And yeah, we're sovereign citizens. So what's the big fucking deal? When you listen to the show, you're allowed to listen to a couple of sovereign citizens chat it up about anarchy.
Sure. Wear your American flag jeans or shirts or bandanas or whatever it is, your America shit. That ain't our steez, okay? We don't get down like that. I'm not looking for American solutions. They're always terrible. Like, we don't lead the world in anything except for bombs and oppression.
Killing, yeah. That's basically, it's like, oh, here's an American solution. Why not kill it?
Right. Beat the shit out of that problem. Kill violence. That's the American solution. That's not my solution, man.
No, a war on. Everything we do is a war on something. You know, let's have a war on poverty. And it's like, fuck, man, let's just let's not have poverty anymore. Not a war. Like, I'd like to kill poverty. Let's be honest here.
Sure.
But I'm violent. I'm not supposed to be the level head that the state is.
And I'll tell you what. As crazy as you may think it sounds when I say that this is a flat-ass earth covered with God's firmament, I will tell you for one damn thing. I know there ain't no lines painted on the ground that says there's different people in different countries.
Right. I've said this quite a few times. If you take me to the painted lines and the lines are painted,
okay,
that's going to be something.
I'll abide.
Yeah.
If you can show me the line between Mexico and the United States, if there's a big black like Sharpie line through the desert that clearly demarcates things, I'll say so. But I don't think it's there, man. There ain't no difference between us and them.
Yeah, the funny thing is Army Strange on Twitter, his Francis Horton, I believe, is his name. He does a great podcast called What a Hell of a Way to Die. I actually really like it. He told me that they don't believe in ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, I believe is what that would be. Like, they believe these Flat Earth Society people, he showed me a thread from a message board where they're like, I mean, I believe there's missiles, but I don't think they could go that far.
Sure. There's limits to missiles.
Yeah. I mean, but that's so consistent with everything else. Like, the rocket ship that went to the other planet is fucking fake. You know what I mean? Like, or that went into space, that didn't happen. It's all on a soundstage. It's been proven time and time again that Stanley Kubrick was hanging out with NASA right before the takeoff, you know?
Yeah, I think that this just jives with, you're right, their personality, where it's like, man, what everybody else thinks is stupid, which we kind of are that way. I mean, that's essentially what we're doing every single week. We try to be a little bit more heady about it, but we're essentially saying, like, the mainstream is really fucking wrong.
Yeah, everything's stupid, you know? Yeah, that's true.
The thinking's bad. We're heading in the wrong direction.
So we actually, it extrapolated even further on there, where somebody theorized that there's a possibility that there are people that don't believe that other continents exist. And I think that's possible. I have never found them. I'm going to tell you that these are a complete fabrication and fantasy that I came up with in my head. I just don't think there's anybody on the planet that has the guts to say there aren't other continents.
Well, I mean, if they can't go there themselves, you're just having to go to somebody that will only believe what they can find at the end of their hand.
Yes.
And I don't know. I don't know about none of that Japan. Because I sure as hell ain't walked there.
I ain't seen Japan. Yeah, I mean, I think Japan's a soundstage.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that, like, nobody has the reason that you're afraid, you can say nobody's ever been to the moon, is because you're never going to the moon. You know? Nobody can throw you on a spaceship and make you go to the moon. You know, that isn't even here.
Right.
And that's why I see it's even harmless. The people that don't think the moon landing happened, I'm like, fuck it. I like, ask questions, you know?
Well, did they only do it once? I mean, it's kind of like the Bible at this point. It's just something that I'm taking on faith.
Yes, exactly. That's true. You are taking this on faith.
Because they don't do it no more. They should be fucking around up there, right? Looking for something better than Earth?
I mean, I think they went there and was like, ain't nothing here, and then left. That's what I would do. You know what I mean? Like, imagine what you would do once you got to the moon and you saw, like, what the actual moon is. It's like on a long road trip, like a cross-country road trip, and then thinking at the end, I'm going to live in luxury in a hotel, and then you end up in, like, a $10 a night bed bug place where everybody, like, a by the hour, one of those extended stay motels.
Right.
That's where you end up when you get to the other side. Like, that's miserable. These guys got on this thing. I mean, these motherfuckers, like, years of their life taken away to go somewhere. Yeah. And they got there and they got out and it was just a bunch of dirt and shit. That was it. That's all that's there.
Yeah. Desolation.
Yeah, I don't even want to see that. The moon is depressing to me.
But what if, I mean, at what point are we going to put, like, farms up there with, like, some sort of robotic workforce that can make crops and then ship them back?
No, we're not going to do that because we need it to be fresher, Brett.
Okay. Apples last a while, though.
I don't want my apples going through space. I just don't know what's up there. You know, hell, I don't even know if anything's up there.
Space
really,
apples.
Yeah.
Put a tag on it. If them apples is from space, I want to know.
Yes, that would be. I mean,
that'd be your GMO.
The GMO people would not do apples from
space.
We
would like all intergalactic produce to be stickered accordingly.
I want to be the person that writes the space fruit diet. You know what I mean? Like, right. If I start hearing about this, that's the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to be like, get your chakras and shit up, man. It's amazing.
Yes. All the strawberries in space have an increase of B vitamins.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes you, I mean, like, if you want to be as fit as possible, go on my space fruit diet.
Yeah. And so many antioxidants.
Yeah.
All the antioxidants are in space. And we put them in the fruit and brought them back.
Here's the thing about space, you know, you're weightless in space.
Right.
So once food has gone through space, it makes it so you lose weight on Earth. You
I
see
like
what I'm
that.
Saying?
Yeah, it cuts like out all the waste.
It takes weight out of the, like, all foods have some weight in them.
Sure, a little extra. Like how we do.
Yeah.
It's all biological.
Yeah. You travel that fruit into a space type thing. You know, we could make an anti-gravity room, you know, that's not just a big fan. I hate that. People are always like, I went to a, you know, an anti-gravity thing and it's just a floating over a fucking fan or in an airplane.
An airplane that's
really
diving,
high.
That dives, yeah.
That's nothing. That's nothing at all.
Yeah, the real stuff. I want to see the real stuff too. Like, I want them to turn on a ray gun that makes some shit go anti-gravity.
I mean, just, I always imagined it would be a room with a bunch of magnets in it.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
I don't know any
of
the science.
Spinning, centrifugal force would be involved.
Yeah. I want to be clear here and say that I have no idea how you would make somebody float with magnets, and I'm pretty sure it's impossible. Actually, they'll probably put you in like a metal suit, like a lightweight metal suit.
Aluminium.
Yeah, aluminium. I don't think that stuff's magnetized, though.
You're right. That's the one that's bad.
But they'll
put aluminum is the one they pay for the most at the recycling center.
No, that's copper. I heard a story one time about a guy that found...
But they don't make cans out of copper.
Right, yeah.
But your cans got to be aluminum to recycle them. Otherwise, they don't want them.
Yeah, copper's expensive. Copper's the stuff you get. I mean, that's why you pull that the wiring out of, you know.
Rental
which, by
properties.
The way, do you think that, like, the wiring came out, like, all when you look at those suburbs area that during the housing boom, they just kept building subdivisions. And now there's a bunch of those that are at, like, 60% capacity or 40% capacity. Like, there's all these empty houses. Do you think any of them have copper wire in them?
No, I mean, well, we have, I mean, yeah, I think, I don't know what the market on copper wire is. It seemed pretty hot years ago.
Yeah. Well, people, when I worked at the cable company, people would climb in a dumpster and take all the old cables and load them into the back of a pickup truck and then strip everything off for the copper. But all that shit's just aluminum with copper plated. It's worthless.
Right, right. It was a waste of time. I mean, they had a good idea had it been real copper.
Yeah, I felt bad for them, actually. I would always be like, hey, that's not worth anything. But of course, they don't believe you.
Sure,
either.
Sure.
I wouldn't believe.
You just saying
guy.
That.
He's just saying that because he wants to keep all the copper. He's just saying that because we're ruining his hustle.
Yeah, I mean, has all the drywall in the suburbs been hatcheted through with a claw hammer? For the copper, I don't know.
I mean, I hope so.
How much copper is out there?
I hope so. Probably a lot. But I knew a guy that found like a bunch of copper plates, like just a stack of them in his garage when he moved into a place. This stack, I'm doing a finger thing. Maybe this is what Brett can cut out for video. Just a stack of them. He takes like three of these sheets to the place to sell them, and it just gets an ungodly amount of money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just like, yeah, let's go out and have a good dinner, honey. Let's go get served by a waiter.
Let's have someone come to the table. Let's have an appetizer.
Yeah. Let's order from the left side of the menu.
Yeah. No more buffets. It's copper season.
Yeah. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to go home and sell. So this is my savings account. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, got your come up right there.
Yeah, I'll just peel off.
It's a windfall.
Yeah, I'll just peel off a couple when I need a little bit of money. I'll peel off some copper and I'll go, you know.
These are sheets of copper that were left
behind?
Yeah,
like sheets of copper. And
rolled copper.
Yeah. And so he took it the next day or the next time he needed some cash. You know what I mean? He went and he got four of them and he took it there. And they were like, man, that stuff's fake. And I fired the guy that gave you the money.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
that's
that
a roller
happens.
Coaster. I mean, that's how it is with that is a lesson in loss, I think.
You know,
you can't become too attached to these earthly possessions like copper sheets because they disappear eventually.
I, you know, that sounds like I told a negative story, but in truth, just on his side, on this dude's side of the story, he benefited greatly.
Yeah, you know, he got paid for six pieces of aluminum covered in copper paint.
Yeah, six pieces of junk. But he got paid a healthy sum of money, got to go, you know, bought tickets for sporting events and went out to dinner and stuff. It's like, you won. I mean, don't, like, hey, don't take this hard when you go home. Don't kick the dirt afterwards. Yeah. You actually came out on top here.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the glory days may have ended, but they were still glorious.
Yeah. So I have a story this week from the Chicago Tribune that's going to infuriate you, Brett. And okay. It's along these lines, actually, to tell you the truth. So
I haven't heard. Okay. The latest copper news out of Chicago.
Yeah. So this is actually out of Ohio, by the way. This is happening in Ohio. The Chicago Tribune is reporting on it. Which Ohio, we all know, is the center of history and activity and current events.
Rich, rich heritage of cultural relativity.
Yep. Tommy G. Thompson was once one of the greatest treasure hunters of all time. A dark-bearded diver who hauled a trove of gold from the Atlantic Ocean in 1988, dubbed the richest find in U.S. history.
Okay. That's a history maker right there.
Right. And this was a dream of mine, of every person. Like, we all just want to find something that's going to take care of our financial issues.
Those stories of the guy or gal that finds a really expensive painting at a garage sale. Some idiot sold this Picasso for $1.98 at the thrift store.
Or the people that buy, like, these people that buy fixer-upper houses.
Yes.
And go up in the attic and find, like, some old Civil War documents.
Right, the founding fathers' gold.
Yeah, that's that's the thing. Any of those old documents are worth just as much as gold. People love that American document shit.
This was a gun shed. It's full of blunderbusses.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Just, it's such a, like, that is a huge dream. Like, all your problems are solved when you make that find.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, America runs on that core idea, is that, like, we're all gutting it out and kind of trying to get ahead. Some of us will get unspeakable wealth. That's why we all continue this, like, dread.
Yeah.
But also, some of us will simply fucking stumble into it.
That's the beautiful, like, the lottery to me is, like, I remember one time I thought I won $500.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a sad story.
I got a fucking chubby right now.
I don't want to tell the story because it's really embarrassing and stupid. I scratched all the things off. And I had a $500, a $500, and a $50, okay? But I, like, looked at it wrong. I was stoned or something.
I need this money so bad. Thank you.
I was screaming out of the fucking car window. You know what I mean? I was. I was screaming. But my buddy was driving, and he was honking the goddamn horn while we're driving down the street. $500 fucking, dude.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, no, not out of nowhere, because you took a chance and played the game. The Ohio Lottery.
But goddamn, man, for that first 15 minutes, and we're just talking about $500 in, like, 1999 or 2000 maybe. And I don't know if I've ever felt that good. Like, I've never won something like that.
Yeah.
Every $1,000 or $500 I ever got, I had to scratch and claw to get.
Yeah, this was an easy one.
Yeah. So, this guy had to feel, like, amazing. Like, he put all the time and money into going out to the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
This motherfucker found gold. That is beautiful. Years later, accused of cheating his investors out of the fortune, first of all, fine, he found it. I don't care about the money, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they wanted the damn fortune, they should have gone with him and gone down there and gave him a hand. They just gave him the money, you know? Thompson led federal agents on a great manhunt, pursued from a Florida mansion to a mid-rent hotel room booked under a fake name. Now Thompson's beard is grayed, and he lives in an Ohio jail cell, held there until he gives up the location of the gold.
Ooh, so that's a novel right there.
I'm furious that, like, if you do go find gold, you got to give it to the damn government.
Yeah, why do they get to claim all gold?
Just treasure. It's historical, man. If you find like a historical document, the government could damn take it to put it in one of them Smithsonians.
Bullshit. That's a come up. That's why regular people go and dig outside.
Yes.
That's the only reason that we would go and look around and try to explore and find shit.
Well, I don't think they want us really doing that.
I thought everything was explored too. I didn't realize. When was this?
This was in 1988.
Oh, see, yeah, everything's been dug up.
No, there's still treasure out there.
There's still treasure and gold out there?
There's gotta be treasure and gold out there. That's just...
Gems and shit?
Some gems, some rubies, those fucking big goblets, those big gold goblets they always have.
Diamond encrusted goblets.
Yeah, I want one of those.
Chalices.
I would keep the goblet. I would sell everything, though, as soon as I found it, because none of that's worth shit to me.
Yeah, a big ruby, I mean, is maybe a good paperweight or something, or a bookend.
Right. I'll sell it and get a MacBook.
But the government is like, no, that's our ruby because we own all of this that's inside these invisible lines.
The government owns the Atlantic Ocean, which
How?
Seems...
How?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I
no,
know.
No, you don't.
I mean,
I swam out there. You didn't.
Yes, exactly.
You're a piece of paper that these fucking cornballs... wrote down and bound us to years ago.
Yeah, I'm so hot under the collar, man. But for nearly 2 years, despite threats and fines and the best exertions of a federal judge, no one has managed to make Thompson reveal what he did with the treasure, which is fresh because nobody can do it. Nobody can get him to do it. And Tommy Thompson, I love you.
Yeah, I mean, I have a radio show to get that kind of fulfillment from life, but if I also had a little bit of treasure and I could keep it a secret, I think I'd be the same thing.
Like if they just put you in prison and you're like you've been sitting in jail since 1988 and it's just like, I ain't telling you now, man. You know, yeah. I've been in here long enough. I'm used to this.
I'm comf.
Yeah. I mean, what would I do if I got out at this point? I know I wouldn't waste my time finding any treasure anymore, which was my job before. But, the wreck of the SS Central America waited 130 years for Thompson to come along. The steamer went down in a hurricane in 1857, taking 425 souls and at least 3 tons of California gold to the seafloor of South Carolina. That's a lot of gold. I think anything like I'd take a quarter of a ton of gold.
Yes. Yes. Throw a few grams of gold at me.
Yeah.
I'd be stoked.
I want gold bars, man. That's really? Like one of those just to hold one in my hand and be like, this mine. Like that. I think that's more romantic. Like if I was a rapper, I'd hold two gold bars in my hand. Yeah.
They haven't gotten gold bars.
No, you've never seen it.
It's all fiat. Because it's mind control shit, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're expensive. I think gold bars are expensive. And where would you buy the gold bar? If any listeners out there want to buy us a gold bar, I'd appreciate it. I'll take that. That's a good donation.
I mean, one gold bar. We won't trade it in either. Would you like to check
Maybe
this shit
not.
Out?
It depends on where we are financially at that time. We'd end up trading that thing in. We'd take it to one of those stupid melt down the gold places.
Yeah, cash for gold. Yeah. Right there on High Street.
Get $800 for it and just be happy with it.
Yeah, get a fucking a dirt bike.
Each buy an ounce and order 2 weeks of pizza.
Exactly.
So this was also like at least 3 tons of California gold to the sea off of South Carolina. This motherfucker didn't even like he didn't have to go to like an Indiana Jones place or anything.
How did he?
He
find
straight
it?
Up went to South Carolina.
He just knew he was stumbling around down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't. Many tried to find it, but none succeeded until a young shipwreck obsessed engineer from Columbus, Ohio. Build it. He's the second most famous person from Columbus, Ohio after us now.
Yeah.
I love him. Let's go visit him in jail.
Okay.
See if we can do
Let's
that.
Set up an appointment, that in mind. Maybe.
He built an underwater robot called Nemo to pinpoint the Central America and then dove 8,000 feet under the sea and surface with the loot.
This is fair play. Come on. If you take away this from us, why would anyone want to create? Why would anyone aspire to do anything?
Yeah.
If you can't build a fucking robot and drive down to the center of the earth to claim gold, and they're going to restrict that, why the fuck do we need this government?
It's definitely, like, doesn't jive with, like,
American spirit. Or it's not Hemingway at all. There's nothing very Gatsby about this.
No, it doesn't jive at all with that, so, with that spirit of, like, but I guess they're like, no, we are not cool anymore, man. We kind of just all go to work and come home and watch TV. You know what I mean?
No, you simply show up, and you show up 5 days a week for 9 hours minus your 1 hour unpaid lunch.
Yeah.
We don't do any of that fooling around anymore.
No, don't go out there digging in the damn ground, because they got shit buried all over the place too. They don't want us messing around, you know?
It's like you wanting to build those flying objects in your backyard.
Yeah. Yeah. A man. Yes, exactly. That's another way that the government ties our hands and our rugged individualist spirit.
They're trying to fucking take us down.
They don't want us hunting for treasure. Like, Columbus, you are a man as personable as he was brilliant. Thompson recruited more than 160 investors to fund his expedition, Columbus Monthly noted in a profile. He spent years studying the ship's fateful voyage and developing the technology to plunge deeper in the ocean than anyone had before to retrieve its treasure. He's also holding a coin in his hand, and there's a picture of him holding the coin in his hand up to his eye, like, I got this, and I ain't telling you where it's at.
Right. This is that new.
Yeah.
I guess you don't know where to get it then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if the government wanted that treasure, they have all the damn money in the world. Yeah. They could have gone and got it.
Lead an expedition. Get 160 investors together if you're trying to get this shit.
Was he supposed to tell them he was doing it? That's why they're furious about it? It's like, you should have, I mean, for the sake of... Because, like, that's probably what somebody would argue. Yeah. Like, this is history.
Sure.
Okay?
It belongs to all of us.
No.
That's mine. That's me and that robot that I built. Treasure.
Yeah. You shouldn't even be able to tax a treasure that somebody went and found. You know what I mean?
What is that? I know. Taxation is theft. That's what I got to say.
I hate it.
Hashtag taxation is theft.
This is where, like, anybody who's, like, a leftist that listens to the show is probably going to be frustrated with us about.
No, you're going to be able to find gold in my anarcho-communism.
Yeah.
And fucking enjoy the spoils of it.
Oh, yeah. You get to keep it.
There'll be a lot more time to hunt for gold.
Yeah. I mean, in my world, he would want to share it with people. You know, we would have, like, been like, buddy, you got all that money.
Right.
People are hungry. Why not feed some?
We can put that in an Apple Watch for everybody.
Yeah, I would passive aggressively.
Diodes.
It's called the passive aggressive kind of thing. Like, I would send government agents to its house to stand outside and be like, damn, it would be nice to have a little extra money to feed poor people.
Just beat them down like that.
If only somebody, these are my new government agents that I send.
Okay.
They're just annoying. They follow them around and, like, kind of make them feel guilty.
Yeah, just like kind of a shakedown.
Like, grab a sick kid and have them come with, like, push him in a wheelchair next to the guy. Like, man, would love to get this kid taken care of.
It's a shame. It's a shame. This child could be helped for only one or two gold bars.
Yeah, if only somebody had 3 tons of gold that they found off of the South Carolina border.
I mean, that'd take care of everything. All the kids down in the new cancer wing would be enthusiastic to hear that. They wouldn't get shut off.
Yeah. So that's how I would handle it. For those of you who think that, like, I'm saying this guy should be selfish, I think we could work on him a little bit.
True. We're not central planners in the way that we're going to take from everybody, but we are going to get it from them eventually.
Well, I want people.
We're going to make them voluntarily give it up.
Exactly. Exactly. I want people to search for treasure for their thing, you know? I get mad because I've talked to liberals that are against the lottery. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They're like,
oh, yeah.
I just, it's exploitive. And I'm like, maybe, but people love the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great service. And I mean, I guess the state-run aspect of it is really fucking weird, because they shut out everybody else's game. That's the problem.
Right. Yeah. That's and like I'm not saying anything about like the government shouldn't do a lottery. I'm saying we should also be like Street Fight should be allowed to have a lottery. I would love to have some scratch off tickets for this show. That would be like the greatest merch I've ever made.
Yeah, or if everybody chipped in, for every dollar that you put in, we would put it in a pool. Street Fight would collect 10% of it and then draw somebody to take the rest.
Yeah, and like the funny thing about that is like if you show over the 5 years or even for a couple of years, you'd never buy a ticket from us because it's our most famous, like that's a revenue generating opportunity to just go buy a roll of tickets for $5 and sell them for $5.
Oh yeah. I mean, tickets are a license to freedom. If you have a roll of tickets, you can tell people that for anything.
It's better than counterfeit money. It's really the best scam that I can think of. You know, it's like, here's a raffle. I'm doing this raffle.
Right.
Give me your email address. Write your email address on this. And if I pull yours out, I'll call you. And then just never do the drawing.
I disagree. Because you're burning people. If we could actually just run a legit lottery and convince people to chip in, and then we got some sort of like social media buzz, like I won the Street Fight lottery with the hashtag and shit, we could do our next lottery.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that we've advanced that plan like 200 times on this show.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody ever like heard of us selling tickets, we would have maybe hurt.
No, if you really need money, you can go to a party supply store and you can buy a roll of tickets and you can go stand near a parking lot and take $10 from people and hand it to them and then just walk away with all the money that you just made.
Yeah, I always think about that with like at the mall that I grew up going to, there was always a car sitting in the middle of the mall and just people would write their information down to get that car. And I was just like, I'll bet nobody ends up getting that car.
No.
I'll bet nobody wins that car.
They take it to the dealership and say that it's a scratch and dent model and they give you $100 off of it.
Either that or they would tell you what you would have to pay for the taxes and you're like, I don't want it. Never mind.
Well, didn't McDonald's get in trouble because they were like, who's winning these monopoly money games? Is there really people getting that money?
I don't believe that they do. I think that mainly it's just people are happy to get a free Egg McMuffin sometimes.
I think that's what's nice about it too. I didn't get the Ferrari, but I got a few extra hash browns, which was pretty nice.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean
it's like medicine.
But have you ever seen the winner of any of these things?
No, I've never met one. I don't know. I know somebody that won $5,000 on a scratch off, but I do not know any McDonald's Monopoly winners.
I mean, I trust that the Ohio lottery, like the state lotteries, all have actual winners in it. I don't know why. I don't trust the government in anything else, but like I just feel like the government has probably made sure, like it's really strictly, tightly controlled. It's probably ridiculous.
I've heard some people. People have won the lottery. Yeah, I definitely know that people have won the lottery.
Yeah, I'm talking scratch off big prizes where it's like $20,000 a month for 5 years.
Oh, right.
Do you think people win that?
I don't know, man. They need to audit it.
I mean, I live in Columbus, and I talk to so many people from this city, and we do the radio show. And I've never even been tangentially in contact with somebody that's won more than like $500, you know?
Maybe it's a lie.
I mean, now I'm starting to think that the truth is out there.
They've been doing a lottery like every single month, right?
Exactly.
Every single week they've been doing the big lottery.
I know. That's why I'm like, man.
Bro, I'm freaking out.
You wasted all that money.
52 winners a year. I've been alive for like 30-some years, right?
Yes.
That's like 1,500 people that have won, and I ain't met a single one.
Nope.
I don't know them. I never drank with them. They never married into my family.
And I also like come from lottery players.
Oh, yeah.
Stock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, but I mean, when you say.
I have like 12 aunts and uncles that play the lottery.
I mean, I grew up with a lot of people that play the lottery and not like Johnny Come Latelys when they're like, hey, the Powerball's up.
No, like Well, I got paid $20 going to the lottery.
Yeah. So anybody out there, if you've, let me know if you know anybody that's won a big, I mean, I'm talking a big
something
jackpot.
Serious, the shit we've, all, the reason that we're playing.
Yeah. The 20 G's, man, $20,000. They'll do like $20,000 a month for a year. And it's like, damn, that's everything to me. That would be everything.
Yeah.
But I just don't think anybody ever wins it. Or how, no. I don't think anybody wins it, but
that's true. I agree. Nobody wins the lottery. It's a fucking lie. The American dream is a lie. The fucking lottery is a lie.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing is like that. Maybe that's why Tommy Thompson guy was like, "I'm gonna go find some real treasure because I can't depend on this lottery shit."
I'm not fucking around with fake shit.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like, I'm so mad. So let's see why they took it or what their justification is. You think, I mean, other than like it's ours, you know?
So I can't believe they threw him in jail over this.
Well, yeah. 95% of the wreck site was still unexplored, potentially worth $400 million. Oh, okay. No, Thompson's group pulled up rare 19th century coins. I'd be just stuffing them in my pocket, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'd wear a hoodie down there in the submarine and be like, I got these pockets too, baby.
Scuba diving in cargo pants.
Yeah, all the necks of my shirts would be completely stretched down because of how much gold I had to have.
Yeah, put your socks over your jeans and then stuff your pants full of jewels.
Yeah, and 95% of the wreck site was still unexplored, potentially worth $400 million in gold alone.
This shit doesn't matter.
Yeah?
To nerds that, like, want to fucking get paid for grants and shit to pore over it, but who the fuck cares about it?
I don't need to historically look at the gold or anything, and the government's probably just going to buy a fucking missile with it.
Yeah, or build a shed and pay people to sit in there so that they can look at it.
Look at the gold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll charge admission to look at the gold.
Yeah. This treasure trove is the richest in American history and the deep water salvage effort the most ambitious ever taken anywhere. So this dude, the most ambitious underwater expedition
he's being punished
in the world.
In capitalist America is great. MAGA America. This guy is being shut down.
Yeah, Donald Trump is going to have to pardon this guy. This seems like the type of dude that Donald Trump would pardon.
This was, you know, Reagan's America, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Bush Senior's America, 88.
Clearing brush one day and you just find like some old gold coins and you're like, those are fucking mine. I found them.
Right, like, and they say no.
Yeah, it's not like he was in. The thing that's frustrating to me is that it's not like he came out in my backyard and dug up gold and then took it. You know what I mean? He went in the fucking ocean. That's nobody's. That's nobody's.
That ain't yours. You can't call that shit. Not from here on the coast, you can't.
I mean, and if it's an American ship that lost it, man, maybe that fucking American ship should have. I mean, America knew about it. They had all the damn time in the world to go. If they wanted it so bad, why did they wait for a third hero from Columbus, Ohio, to go down there and get it?
Shameful. Shameful. It's just, it really is slapping innovation in the face. This guy really grabbed it by the horns. He went for it and dove down into the fucking ocean and dug up a whole bunch of gold.
Yeah, this is incredible, though. The expedition's loot captured the country's attention, as did the peculiarities of its leader, a scientist-seafarer hybrid who worked on nuclear submarine systems before hunting treasure. Thompson's not exactly the romantic swashbuckling sort, Forbes wrote during the years-long recovery of the ship's treasure. So this took years for him to do. He spent years recovering this treasure from the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And
for his efforts, he was thrown in jail.
This is kind of an insult to him. I'm sure he wouldn't like this. He's scientific and methodical and with none of the P.T. Barnum that infuses other salvers. Oh, come on, man. Yeah. Get some P.T. Barnum in there.
Who are they talking about there?
Thompson.
No, but I mean, they're talking about the other P.T. Barnum people.
I want that. Yeah. Can we meet one of them?
Like, Jacques Cousteau? Is he P.T. Barnum? Is he too P.T. Barnum?
He is a showman for sure. Yeah. I don't think he's the only underwater seafarer I know. And he wasn't even looking for gold. Seems like that's where you would go to look for damn gold. Ships were sinking all the fucking time, dude.
They had no clue. They were slapped together the way that we slapped together our cars.
Yeah. But man, he definitely, okay, so Thompson had almost limitless resources. Oh no, I'm sorry. When a federal judge ordered Thompson to I'm skipping paragraphs, so I shouldn't.
It's fine.
But before long, some of Thompson's bankrollers began painting a different picture of the man. Two of the expedition's biggest investors took him to court in the 2000s, accusing him of selling nearly all the gold and keeping the profits to himself.
Okay.
That's what happens when you start dealing with a seafarer. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe.
I can't be mad.
I can.
You are you really?
Yeah, because you gotta own up to your deal, man. If someone is like the people that are facilitating Street Fight, if I told them they're gonna get something in return, I own up to that.
Okay, he have all that gold. He should. I mean, maybe
he
just
had gold.
Maybe he just found out that like the gold wasn't as worth as much as he borrowed.
Yeah. Plus, when you get down there, you're like, you know what, these motherfuckers, man. You know what? They don't do shit except for write checks. You know, they put pen to paper. I'm the one developing the machinery. I'm the one that deserves all the gold.
Yeah. And, oh my God, Thompson and a federal judge ordered Thompson to appear in 2012. He didn't show. An arrest warrant was issued, but the man who found a long lost shipwreck had disappeared, which I assume is fairly easy to do when you have $400 million.
Right. Right.
There followed a 2-year manhunt for what a top U.S. marshal called perhaps one of the smartest fugitives the agency had ever chased. Thompson had almost limitless resources and approximately a 10-year head start in the chase, Peter Tobin, U.S. Marshal for Ohio, said in a statement.
Why are they chasing him down?
They want that money, man.
Just because he got gold? I'm so confused. I feel confused at this point.
He ripped off all the investors, which we've already said is like,
fuck y'all, though,
that's
man.
That's wrong, man.
You play. If you can't, like, that's the thing. That's the other side of investing, though. Is that I am totally ANCAP when it comes to that shit. Like, get rid of all these guarantees that if you invest in somebody, you can get it paid back.
Yeah.
I mean, so many businesses are living off the idea that they can write it off.
Yes.
All of their losses, the government will pay for them because they get to write it off.
Yeah.
But I feel like you made a fucking bad bet, man. You got to eat it.
Risk. You.
That's
you,
the risk of investing in seafaring people, like you said. He might motherfucking skedaddle on a skidoo.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. So Tommy Thompson, man, in the Street Fight Hall of Fame.
I like this.
Columbus, Ohio hero, Tommy Thompson. We need a shirt with him on it.
Yeah,
man.
This is just somebody that you have to just step back and be like, man, you're one. Like, you're a real one. They are, like, top. Notch person. It's like the Catch Me If You Can guy.
Yeah, I love him so.
I don't even know who he is.
Do you see the movie?
No.
Oh, he ripped everybody off. He was like counterfeiting everything.
Right.
Everything he possibly could. Like, just counterfeiting checks. He just lived off. I mean, he had a skill. He honed a skill.
Sure.
And he lived off of that skill, you know? And it's like, I don't want you to get ripped off, listeners out there, but I want you to be smart enough not to get ripped off.
Yeah, I would say.
You know, I'd be savvy about this stuff.
If you have $10,000 to invest in a treasure hunt, I mean, put it in something else or just take a vacation. I would rather not see you give a lot of your disposable income to somebody that's going on a treasure hunt in the ocean. I just think that there should be inherent risks with
that. I mean,
that.
What if he didn't find anything?
Right, exactly. Then what are you going to say?
You're going to throw him in jail again for not finding anything, you know?
Right.
You've invested in this guy, and that's just what you end up with.
Right.
You know? I'm sorry.
And the kind of crazy son of a bitch that can dig up gold from the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, the world's a mess. Oh, man, that was fun. I love that guy.
Yeah, I mean... Those high achievers like that, I feel like we do get in the way of them too much.
Yeah. I find it's, I just, I, when I saw that they threw this guy in jail, Which I guess he did get caught, you know, but they seem like they were hunting him extra hard, though, too.
Well, they get bored.
Yeah.
And that's fun. I mean, it'd be fun to catch the guy.
You want to hunt him?
No, man. I just want to hunt him down and give him a fucking hearty handshake.
Yeah.
Like, you're a hell of a damn shooter.
Just like the guys that did the Hollyweed sign. Exactly. You want to give them, like, ah, oh, it's cool, man. I like that you did that. It's weed.
So awesome.
So, we haven't probably talked about, we're going to move into another odd direction. Because I've been paying attention to, I followed a group called Grow Food Not Lawns back in the day when I was very into, like, hey, man, I'm still into it. You know what I mean? Personally, I still believe Grow Food Not Lawns.
Sure. I like that too.
Yeah, I'm
Seems
not against
very
it.
Stupid to have grass instead of blueberries.
Or even, damn, you could grow flowers too.
True.
You know, but they make it against the, like, this is why I joined this group. I think it's against the law to grow food in your front yard at sure. times. And it's like that. I don't like Stupid. That at all.
A front yard garden could provide a lot of fucking produce for yeah. the house.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Why? I don't, man.
Because people will leave old broken down tractors out in their front yard and shit.
Who gives a hoot? Who,
I don't.
I'm a guy that I think a broken down tractor in somebody's front yard adds to some of the ambiance of where I live, you know? You're back in Ohio. You know what we like here.
That's true.
We aren't fancy people. We will tape our car together.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jalopies in Ohio, a lot more than I see in other cities.
Yeah. So Grow Food Not Lawns posts a lot of stories from Real Pharmacy.
Yes. PH
FFAR.
Oh no. Oh, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Pharmacy.
Right. Instead of taking medicine, try this ginger root.
Yeah. And I'm like, people would call this fake Tumeric. News. People would call this fake news. Yeah. You know, now that's like the new style to call things fake news. I just call this some good old fashioned on the ground reporting.
Quackery.
Yeah, it's quack. There's going to be quacks out there. Yeah. Just like that treasure hunter. There's quacks all over the fucking world, dude.
Yeah. And if somebody runs around and says to eat spirulina in the morning to increase biomes in their nasal cavities, just let them fucking say it.
Yeah, and
let
fuck
them tell
it.
Them it'll change their life.
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, as long as they're not poisoning people, you yes. know, or like
no
the
vitamin B6. What is the B vitamin that's the poison?
I don't know. I've chosen not to take any vitamins since I heard that, just to be on the safe side.
B17 is that one that will fucking kill you.
But so they posted a story. I'm just reading the headline. I'm going to read the whole story because you get the idea of it from the headline. And it says, the noodles that cause chronic inflammation, weight gain, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's disease. And the caption on it is, if you're still eating these noodles, this will be the final nail in the coffin. So they're trying to chase you away from ramen noodles.
Got
the
it.
Marcon ramen noodles, which I can't do that. It's the just people eat those things, man. It's all it really is a hearty meal for 35 cents.
It was a Jetsons moment when they created the instant ramen noodle.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is. I ate growing up. I ate a lot of ramen noodles, you know, and when I first moved out, ramen noodles made up a significant portion of my diet.
I still buy the fancy ones and just add a whole bunch of vegetables to them. I will literally buy like a spicy Szechuan Hunan House ramen bowl and add Brussels sprouts and vegetables to it.
It's good. Look, the shit tastes really good. I mean, those,
they know what they're doing.
Those noodles have exactly the right consistency.
Yeah, they don't, and they never break. It's alkaloids, man, in the water. They don't break down. When they get hot, they are always there and they're never mushy and they're fucking delicious from the beginning to the end.
Yeah. I knew a guy that had never tried them until he was in his 20s. And then like I was doing a podcast with him. I was like, hey, buddy, I bet you can't eat 10 packs of those in one night. And then he couldn't and he made himself really sick.
But he liked it
He did. When he first tasted it, he's like, this is delicious.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's good. So I saw that.
It really tastes like seafood.
And it's like, man, grow food, not lawns. Let's not shame people, I guess. You know, this is, let's.
Grow food, not lawn has a very looking down their nose attitude, though.
Right. So the same day, I get this nice thing from Forbidden Knowledge, which is another, you like that page? It's a weird one. Yeah. It's one of those, it's like lefty Alex Jones.
Right.
Sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. They're against oligarchs, but they're also against like climate change and shit.
Yeah. They don't believe in climate
change. Anything.
That's true. And it's got a picture of an apple on it with one of the stickers on it and says, if you see this label on the fruit, do not buy it at any cost. And I'm like, damn, why are you always do you not want us to eat Forbidden Knowledge?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, and I was like, the shitty thing is like they're appealing to like the dumbest people in the world.
People say McDonald's is bad, but I ain't seen nothing better than those apples, them scientific apples they're making.
Yeah. Eat the apples, people. Yeah,
even the GMO apples. Eat them.
Any apples you can eat are fine. You're going to live.
Gobble up all the apples you can get. It's like a miracle that we have all these fucking apples nowadays. Back when my mom was celebrating Christmas, an apple was a gift.
Right.
You would get an apple and an orange in your stocking because fresh fruit wasn't readily available.
Right. I watched Once Upon a Time. Or no, I watched a Western with, it was called Nevada Smith, while I was sick. And this dude got so amped up to eat some peaches.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a treat.
Yeah. He was like pulling his hair out. He's like, get these damn, as in a can, get these peaches open now. I got to get in there.
Right. I'm excited.
So I want to say, I'm just begging and imploring you at Real Pharmacy to, you know, don't chase people away from fruit, please.
And add some class consciousness.
Yes.
You know, ramen is something that mostly yoga freaks and aren't eating. You know, it is more a way to get by.
Yeah. So let's move on to some news of the political sort, Brett.
Okay.
You want just, and I'm not going to go into any detail on this because you've all read probably about it. So were you paying attention when the Republicans closed the ethics committee the other day?
I didn't fucking care at all.
These motherfuckers. I
had no clue what the uproar was, and people of every stripe was going insane.
They're pulling their fucking hair out, yeah. Man. It took over my entire, it took over Facebook, it took over Twitter, and I was just like, I mean, is there really any ethics going on? Yeah. What have they been doing?
It might save us some money.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like all that happens there is malfeasance.
Unethical. The whole fucking organization is unethical.
Yeah. So I didn't freak out at all about it, actually. I mean, I was like, maybe this will cause more graft, I guess. But, like, maybe it'll also be more flagrant graft. You know, like, man, if you got the guts to, like, close an ethics committee just like on TV in front of people, then we ain't gonna be able to do anything to you. I mean, you're invincible if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, it seems more and more we need to storm the gates, I think, at this point. It's like saying on the very first day, we're throwing ethics out the window.
It's fresh, a little bit. It's brave.
It's tight, man.
I guess.
It's like putting the seat backwards, sitting backwards on a chair.
As they walked in and
shit is happening that you ain't ever seen before.
Yeah, they were like, we're going to come. It's like what idiots think you do in prison. You go in there and you punch the biggest dude in the room in the face.
Exactly.
The ethics committee. You tell people there will not be ethics.
We don't abide by what you think is ethical, Pizzagate.
Yeah, that like so. That was a real fun thing.
So what was it? I mean, they just investigate what's ethical and shit?
Yeah, like you can it was like a non nonpartisan, I guess, committee where, like, if somebody reported something unethical happening, that you'd be like, oh, we will investigate that and get down to
business
here.
That's too fucked up.
Yeah, but they don't ever, I feel like they never do the investigations.
I mean, they don't do any job of correcting themselves. Or like, that's the problem is that government to me feels like this big thing where we all agree we're going to work on it. And they have so obviously left us behind. And I don't understand why when I talk to regular people on the streets, they aren't like, hey, they're fucking us over hardcore. You know, they seem to not be following the lines. They keep thinking that you can vote for somebody else. You know,
no, there's nobody to vote for at this point. They're all bad. Like right. Every one of them. I
it's
mean, this Cuomo
rotten
dude,
fucking people.
Now people are saying, like, actually, the weird thing is that people think Mark Zuckerberg's thinking about running for president.
I saw that.
I'm like, man, this is difficult for me to get fired up about because, like, he might try to do the right thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but this is just that same lemming-ass attitude where people are like, oh, he made a smart decision before. I'm just going to follow him. I mean, most people are just waiting around for fucking orders. I think people just want to not have any sort of strife in their fucking life or danger. You know what I mean? And as long as somebody else is ready to keep taking up the reins, they're ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just feels like the same type of, like, I don't know, Bill Gates made computers and added graphical user interfaces to fucking computers. So maybe he should get to decide how malaria medicine is handed out in Africa. It's like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah,
no, Mark Zuckerberg, he got a lot of people together. He fucking smart, man. He knew what he was doing when it came to getting people back together and finding people from fucking high school that I thought I'd never see again. You know? But he sure as hell has no business being involved in what goes on in, like, charter schools and shit.
Yeah, yeah, that is the thing. And that's what's all scary is, like, he probably is, like, pro. You're right. He is scary. He's a capitalist and all that stuff. I don't think things would get necessarily better under him. I'm just saying that, like, he doesn't scare me anymore than anybody else that they could run. You know, this, I always want to call him Rivers Cuomo, but the governor of New York, I think it's Patrick Cuomo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy, he vetoed a bill to provide legal aid to people who can't afford it.
Right.
But then the next day he brought Bernie Sanders in to get little the rub, you know what I mean?
Sure,
he wanted
to
get that Bernie Sanders rub, and he was like, I want to make college available for all low-income New Yorkers. And I'm like, I like it, Rivers, but I preferred Pinkerton, and you did cut legal aid to poor people.
Right, right. So we're back to really square one here. Nothing happened. We're treading water. Mr. Cuomo.
And Bernie Sanders will just walk in there like The Rock to try to give people a rub. You know what I mean? Like when The Rock was in the ring with Roman Reigns for them to be like, look, you like The Rock.
Right.
Why don't you like this guy?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. That's what Bernie went in and stood in the ring with Rivers Cuomo.
Yeah, that's the best he can do is try to transfer some of that energy, cut a promo, you know, tell people he's fed up. And then say, I got a couple of friends here that are fed up, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You just embarrassed me. Now I feel like.
Yeah, they I don't know, man. Democrats are no solution. Here's the scary part. We have to create a world without Democrats. And that's all we've ever been told. And that's all the history books say. And that's what everybody expects to happen. And people are looking for a celebrity to tell them what to do. And that's what fucks us. And that's what will keep fucking us forever if we don't change that mentality.
We're always looking for a new Democrat.
Right.
And that's
Al Franken, maybe. Maybe Mark Maron could run. He says the fuck word. Maybe fucking Ira Glass could run as a Democrat.
My God. I would if that happened, that would be peak. That would be maybe
people,
John Oliver and
in America. People in America, They like to work. They want to work five jobs. I know, because I studied them. So we want to give five jobs to everybody. You all be assigned work through our American camps because we believe in America. Because America's good and America's great.
Yeah.
Signing off. I'm going to fucking beg you for money during the holidays.
Al Franken. It's me.
Yeah, Al
it's
Franken. Al same Franken. Guy. Yeah.
So let's kind of close. We've been doing a lot of covering funny news. You know, like that last part wasn't funny news, but we did it in a very funny way. You know, we've talked about a treasure hunter. So I got two more little stories here. And one of them was posted on the Street Fight Facebook page, and it's CNN uses screenshot from Fallout 4 to show how Russians hack things.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the problem with this. This is another issue where everybody else is talking about this Russian issue, and I still have not seen anything substantial. And we just have government officials saying like, oh, we got hacked.
Oh, shit.
Russia. My God. It was Russia the whole time. They did Donald Trump. They trumped us.
Yeah. It's funny that we have like that. The press is trying to find an excuse for how Donald Trump won the election.
Exactly. They can't just figure out that the American system, once again, is busted.
It's a complete failure of a system.
Yeah, it's led us all the way to Donald Trump as president. And they're trying to say that it was hackers.
Yes.
Like, hackers convinced him to join. They wrote some sort of note that got him interested in running for president.
Right, and it's like, maybe Russians were the ones that sent the phishing email that John Podesta clicked on to get the Democrat stuff hacked. But I'm going to tell you something, man. I don't think that won Trump the election. But secondly, it's the evidence. There is none. There is zero fucking evidence other than, you know, Julian Assange. Edward Snowden's in Russia. Because that's a new wrinkle in this story, Brett, is that yesterday Sarah Palin apologized to Julian Assange and Edward Snowden for stuff they had done in the past.
Wow, they're showing some growth.
No, they're not.
But what? I mean, why not?
Because now they're like, oh, you did something that got Obama or that got the Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, they're only switching because it's,
But it's weird, man. I actually tweeted this, that we're lucky that the conservatives didn't have a chance to have them killed before they decided they liked them.
Sure. I mean, they definitely would have had to publicly hang them. Yeah. And then been like, you know what, man? Them boys wasn't so bad at all now that I think about it.
Well, they wouldn't have had the chance to redeem themselves in their eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you just had to have that change of presidency. You have to have that chance for them to attack one of your enemies before they become your friend.
Yeah, and Lindsey Graham, like, came out, and he just looks like a pound puppy, first of all. That's what his face looks like.
Or maybe what were the ones that got mad when you flipped up their lips?
I have no idea.
There were ones that you could flip their eyebrows and you could flip up their lips and they would have like a snarling face.
I'll bet he does that too. I bet he snarls.
Hey, gather around everybody. I'm going to flip up my lip here. It looks pretty terrifying. If I take my jowls here, I'll rearrange them in a way and just fold them in so. Wow, doesn't that look like I'm a grizzled junkyard dog?
Yes, that's probably something he does.
Sure. I mean, he's trying. That's how white people like him. That's how you become a politician. People like you and you do the angry dog face when they ask.
Yeah, so he's fired up at Donald Trump because Donald Trump's like, I don't trust the FBI. I trust Julian Assange and Edward Snowden.
I'm with him. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, we told you, like, these people were pointing shit out ages ago. I mean, they're fucked up. They are fucking weird dudes. But, like, they put some shit out there that we all thought was good for a long time.
Cablegate was, I mean, everybody had such a good time with Cablegate.
Yeah, I mean,
the conservatives are just finding that joy now.
Yeah, I was doing a DDoS attack at work. I was in there. I had downloaded the software doing it at work like 6 years ago.
Yeah. Let's fucking do this, man.
It's time for info wars, infosec wars or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's happening now, right? And so Lindsey Graham, is just like, maybe you should trust the FBI. Like, that's what's funny about Trump is he's not especially patriotic.
But, yeah, people are painting it as an... But, he encapsulates the American spirit, though, in the same way that we don't... Like, we are still very American in the way that we hold ourselves and stuff. Even though we don't want to be a part of it, we still encapsulate so much of that essence.
And we were patriotic Americans at one point.
Sure.
You know, everybody has to go through. I wonder...
Patriotism is standing up in front of everybody and telling them you'll spit right in their face. Sometimes. I mean, that's the kind of pride I want, you know.
Yeah.
That's the kind of pride I have. I'll spit in your fucking face.
I was a patriot at one point.
I'm sovereign. In my country, it's legal to spit in your fucking face. In the country of pain, it's illegal to spit in your face, hombre.
Yeah. And you guys got to understand that when you're around us, when you're within 5 feet of me, you're in my country. So sure. That's just for people at Bus Boys and Poets. You right. know, I like it when people are right close to the stage, but can
remember
you're in my country at that point, and that anything goes.
I'm allowed to swing my hands however I like in my country.
I hope we go in there to record. Are we going there to do the show? And right at the beginning of the show, they come in and tase us. And we are screaming, am I being detained? And then they take us out. And that's like the whole show.
Yeah, people would love that, I'm sure.
Then we go to jail for being sovereign citizens for a night. Because, I mean, sovereign citizens, they hate them, man. They'll tase the shit out of them.
You can't be sovereign. I'm certainly not trying to step foot in Virginia at all.
Yeah, you're right, man. You are totally right. We are going to avoid Virginia at all costs. Screw that place.
Yeah. We're staying in Maryland. We have to stay. This is the type of luxurious accommodations that Street Fight affords. We're like an hour and a half away. We're like staying 90 minutes away from D.C.
But we're staying in a luxurious hotel. Yeah.
4.75 stars.
Yeah. I'm going to be okay driving a hour and a half every day.
Fresh as fuck. 90 minutes just whistling on the way.
Yeah.
All the way down the 95.
Yeah. After eating a continental breakfast or something like that, just chatting it
cheese
up.
Cheese Danish.
Yeah.
Fucking black coffee.
Get ready for the day, you know. When we chose to stay an hour and a half away because of my particularities.
Yeah. I do have to say, I mean, for me, one of the ways you get by as regular folks is you always know somebody. Well, and maybe this is just an Ohio thing. Now that I think about it, like, I have always known somebody that works for Victoria's Secrets, The Gap, Banana Republic, Old Navy, Abercrombie & Fitch, Bath & Body Works. Since forever, I have been able to buy a gift card for a discount, like from people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've been able to use somebody else's discount.
Yeah, same here. And we have a source for... Hotels,
yeah. We know someone that works behind the line.
You know, I just kind of feel like I would rather have a comfortable bed. I don't care to drive. Driving isn't a thing that fires me up or anything. I don't get worried about it. I love driving
because you can play. It's like really the only time left that you're allowed to listen to music at like a really loud volume. That's what I like about driving.
Well, yeah, and driving with you, we just talk the whole goddamn way. It's like being at work. You know what I mean? It's what in a positive way, not in a negative way. It's like we get to just sit in the car.
Water cooler time all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the best stuff we've ever done was in a car. Driving somewhere because I'm a free boy when I'm not on the microphone and I
free ride. So we will be once again in Washington D.C. For those of you that didn't understand, if you're in the DMV area, January 22nd, we're performing live at Bus Boy and Poets in Brooklyn in the Pearl Bailey Ballroom. We're gonna go out to the Brooklyn Pint afterwards. I'm getting there. But please consider buying tickets. Please consider showing up. Please consider selling that joint out so that they will welcome us with open arms next time. And come see us live, because we're going to have special guests, District Central Radio and Felix.
Yeah, you all know Felix. So, yeah, that's our friends, man. And we're going to make something funny for you. So I think we're good this week, buddy.
Is that it?
I mean, I feel good about it. We did two very long shows last week.
We did.
And I'm like, oh, we got to keep the time down a little bit. You know, I don't want you guys to think that. I mean, not that I wouldn't. I would do 3 hours a day. But I want people to like it. And for some reason, there are people that just don't like long podcasts. It just turns them off right away. It doesn't turn me off. I'll listen to it in pieces. I don't care.
Yeah, it does take a long time to get stuff done. I do listen to podcasts when I do my chores, and sometimes the chores take like 2 hours. So yeah. A 2 hour podcast is fine for me.
I feel like I'm hanging out with the people. It feels good. You know what I mean? It's sure. Like, oh, yeah, these guys. These are the guys I hang out with every day that just talk about wrestling.
Yeah. So you will get our show 2 times a week, as always. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can find us on the Android podcast apps. We also do lots of other things over on social media. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. The username is Street Fight WCRS. WCRS, as it sounds. I'm real high, so that sounded like... I felt like I had to spell it out.
Yeah.
Like, just remember. W as in W, C as in C, R as in R, and S as in S.
W can't remember shit. WCRS. Just remember it that way.
Sure.
We
can't remember shit.
Yeah, used to be a funny t-shirt, the CRS.
Right? I don't know that.
Can't remember shit. I got CRS syndrome.
Oh, that's
me. I can't remember shit.
That is me. I agree. if you want to find Brian, he's on Twitter at MurderBrian, MurderBryan. You can find me. I'm on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. The name is the same. It's at Brett Payne, BrettPain. We also have Trump Revolt shirts. So if you want a t-shirt of Trump fucking throwing up everywhere, it's available at store.streetfightradio.com. You can pre-order it. We're taking pre-orders all month long. I already have people that are chiming in with their regrets about not ordering Lonnie Tune shirts. And we've told you over and over again, we do it for 1 month and then that's it. There's no special circumstances or any reason why you should expect to get it outside of that month. So you have this month.
Damn.
Also,
you hard in there.
I mean, that's how it is. I'm a tough love
tough
guy.
Businessman over here.
And the other thing is that we are assembling and have assembled a zine.
Zine is how I read it until I finally heard somebody say it.
who said that on who said that tweet? Who did that?
What?
Oh, there's a famous tweet of somebody that didn't know how to say zine.
I always said zine. That's what it really spells.
But okay. If it's magazine and you take off the MAGA, if you take off the Make America Great part, this is not Make America Great, the zine.
No,
this is
I'm
just a zine.
I'm putting a lot into this thing, which is
zine.
Wild.
Zine sounds like something you do on a record scratch.
Yeah, I'm putting a lot of work in this zine. I got a lot of cool people that are going to be on it and people you have never heard of. And that don't do comedy. You know what I mean? I've got people.
Regular folks.
Regular.
Street level people.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool. And it's going to be something that I made with my own two hands.
So moving into 2017, the new structure for Street Fight is going to be, you head over to patreon.com/streetfightradio. You donate $5 a month. You're going to get live video every single month. So this January show, I'm taking an HD camera. I'm recording it. Everybody that donates will get it. If you want to get 25 grams of Kratom in the mail, you can do that by signing up for Loot Kratom over on the Patreon. Patreon.com/streetfightradio. You can sign up for Loot Kratom, get 25 grams of Kratom. And now we're going to have the Zine Club. So $10 a month. every single month, you're going to have the Street Fight Radio zine mailed to you.
No PDF. There will not be a PDF of this thing. I'm not. I want this thing to be kind of a freedom sort of thing. You know what I mean? We'll also sell it outside of the Patreon. You will be able to buy it. If you can't afford Patreon, just we'll sell it. We'll be selling it. Don't worry. But I want it to be intimate. I have some really cool friends that are writing in it, and I'm writing in it, and I want to feel like I want you to know that, like, I was free while I wrote it. Like,
no scans.
This shit isn't,
like, scanned. There isn't, like, it isn't indexed or hashtagged online.
Yes. And I just think I want it to be this intimate thing that, like, you can engage with once a month and see people that are writing. Who knows what it'll be every month. It'll be writing.
But the first month is going to be tyrant bosses, right? Small business tyrants.
Yes. So it'll be about my experiences with small business boss tyrants. It'll be about other cool people's experiences with it. Just that is a subject that's really close to my heart, because I feel like a lot of people work. There are people that work at small businesses, and there are a lot of people that are really miserable there. So sure. That'll be the first month zine. I mean, the next month could be a coloring book. I don't know.
Right.
But it'll be something that I put together.
So that's coming in February. Every single month, Patreon charges your card on the first of the month. So February 1st, for $10, you're going to get our live video, access to all of our live videos, actually, that we've done. And then also to whatever February's live video will be, hopefully Chicago, and I'm putting that in the works. And you will get a zine sent in the mail. If you don't want the zine, you can get Kratom. I'm sure that we'll figure out a way to bundle the two as well. Patreon.com is the place to do that, and that's the way to keep Street Fight rolling. We're trying to eventually take down all global government and replace it with some sort of horizontally organized egalitarian situation where we're not, like, exploiting, oppressing, or capitalizing on people's labor. I mean, that's the best situation, I think. That's what we're gunning for. So all the money is going towards that insurrection, monkey wrenching, and time theft, and everything necessary to push that agenda forward. Thank you to everybody that's continued to listen and support and spread the word. Really, if you're not one of the folks that can donate each month, that's why we put out the audio of all the shit we do for free. And if you can let some of your friends that got money know, I mean, that's just as important as donating. So please spread the word any way you can. We appreciate it. And hit us up. We're Street Fight. Peace.
Trace of my face could seem so pleasing. I'll pop out to the change, but a stranger is putting the tease on. I was down on the ground when the messenger brought me a letter. I was raised by the praise of a fan who said I upset her. Strange, but don't change, and I let her.
to plaster. Stick around while the clown who is sick does the trick of disaster. For the race of my head and my face is moving much faster. Is it strange I should change? I don't know. Why don't you ask her? Is it strange I should change? I don't know. Why don't you ask her? Is it strange I should change? I don't know. Why don't you ask her? Is it strange I should change? I don't know.